Michael Magruch. I love talking to artists. I absolutely love it. Their perspective, you know, how they view art and how it's just so necessary in society, you know. He has a very, two big pillars in his life. He calls it human-centric versus system relevance. And I actually open with art, why art, but then we get into this. He wrote a great essay on LinkedIn, and just briefly, human-centric is being more close to nature with your body in tune, whereas system relevant is economics, getting, you know, into your career, getting further away from nature, and the clash between the two, and how, you know, there's kind of the Venn diagram of when you should be, you know, how large the intersection should be or can be. But he's just got a fascinating take on it. So he is neurodivergent. So he had a hard time in school, and he mentions how he can't regurgitate anything. All his art, he's a painter, everything has to be new. And I do also ask about how important is the consumer or the viewer of the art. And I'll just tease you with it right now. He says they're not important at all. But it's a wonderful conversation with Michael. He's from Austria, lives in Southern California, but just wonderful perspective and great conversation. It just got me all fired up. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Joey Pins. People ask me, how did I lose 130 pounds? The quick answer is always discipline. I started my business, wasn't paying attention to my health, was eating too much, you know, drinking too much sweets. My daughter was born. Next thing I know, I'm pre-diabetic, I have hypertension. I knew something had to change. Discipline. I, like many of you, have faced many challenges in your career, in your family, in your life, in your faith. How did you attack them? How did you approach them? How did you solve them, hopefully? It all had to have some degree of discipline. I'm also asked, how did you found and start a tech business that lasted over 25 years? Discipline. I was committed to it, enjoyed technology, didn't enjoy some aspects of it, but knew it was necessary. Discipline. Our podcast mission, how do we use discipline to better ourselves and society? Join me, please, as I talk to interesting people and discuss how they use discipline in their family, in their passion, in their careers, and how it helped them. Our podcast vision, growth through learning from others. Joey Pins Discipline Conversations. It'll be light and serious. Join us, please. Thank you for consideration.
Very cool. Michael Magruch, thank you so much for your time today. Very, very excited to talk to you. Michael, why art?
Go ahead.
Why art?
Why art? Oh, I said why art, and I was like, whoa, what? I said, why art? Okay, why art? Because art is something natural, meaning when you and I right now start singing, nobody will like it perhaps, but the world, 8 billion unique humans, will understand it. The reason why you and I can talk is because we have six senses. We didn't go into school to talk to other people. We didn't go into podcasting school. We talk to each other. We have six senses, and we align and fit and can dance with each other. And art is more than just a communication. Like if you draw something, everybody in the world will see you. If I draw something, everybody in the world will understand it, you know? And we are 8 billion people that are one of one. So nobody is right. No, all this systemic thing of, you know, I'm the authority, I'm the expert. Nobody's the expert because everybody's different. There's one Joey in the whole world. That is you. There's one Michael in the whole world. We can say, we can collaborate, like what we're doing podcast. That's why I think podcasting is such a power, because you see how people can collaborate and create content together, which is, by the way, always different, which you know. If you try to repeat an episode, can never work. And that's what we, and that's why art is, it has something else. It has something It's the blueprint what humanly is possible. Hmm. And everybody looks at the product. Everybody looks at the statue of David, it's all bullshit. It's nothing compared to the power it has for the blueprint of us. So my podcast, for example, is only 30 seconds. I don't even need more.
Yeah.
And it's just about art creation, because our first superpower of all the humans that we have is we are collaborative creator animals of nature, a creator species. Look at all our states, look at Google, Apple, New York, Singapore. We create collaboratively. And that's our superpower. Our first superpower is creation. It's not the elephants. The elephants do the same thing forever. The ants do the same thing forever. And that's why we can think. Mm. And I learned everything, my self-esteem, my self-confidence, because I have zero education. I've completely self-learned. Right. Because I'm so neurodiverse that I couldn't even do anything. So I learned everything from art, everything. I was in Africa right now. I did a weekend in Africa on Zoom just for a big conference. I'm all over. I did 250 interviews all over the world since 22. I'm invited. It's not like, you know, I'm also asking for people that I like, but I'm also invited back because I'm not dissing anybody. Because you can't. Nobody's an expert. I can't say, oh, Biden is horrible and Trump is better or Trump is worse. You can't do that. Nobody can, because everybody is unique.
And when you say there's no truth.
There's truth, but not system truth. There's so truth.
Let's talk about human-centric. Let's go right to that. It's human-centric versus system-relevant. This is
Are we taping already or no?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know because you had the green thing in behind you. I thought, okay, good. So why we have...
human-centric versus system-relevant.
Okay. So human-centric versus system-relevant is... I found that out through art. So I told you that it's a blueprint for what we are possible, humans possible. And you know, when you go into theater, you get an idea. You watch a movie, you get an idea. It shows us the possibilities without actually doing it. So you might see a movie flying on the moon, right? And then you like lost. You said, okay, but it's a movie. It's not real. And Kennedy comes and half people fly on the moon or pretend to, whatever. But we learn from art the blueprint what is humanly possible. Without investing, without getting a lot of people killed, without doing anything. And so what I found is I couldn't believe that 99% of artists are poor worldwide. And imagine a world without art. Imagine that. How fun would be a world? But it's already boring. How fun would be a thing without art or in creativity? So what happens is I said, I got to figure this out. I can't handle it. My friends are sleeping in cars and super, super stars that I know all artists all over the world. I talk to them and they say, yeah, and you know, their paintings are worth $45,000, you know? And I said, and they say, I don't have money. I said, why don't you have money? Because half the gallery gets, right? And then how often do you need to sell $40,000 paintings? How often can you do that? And the people, and when you talk to everybody, we all cash strapped and we're all pretending we're better than the other. Just look at this is going to make fun. Instagram has two classes. The one that are the idols, like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and all these people. And then have all the rest of us that pretend we live like them. So when we go one time in the expensive restaurant or stand in front of the car, we make a selfie. So that basically everybody wants to do the same. And it's crazy. So what I found in through art is the human centricity is I realized, okay, what does art ask? And art doesn't ask anything other than be created and exposed. So if I start singing, la, 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 hey, Joey, do you like that? You said, no or yes. It doesn't matter what you say. I have to allow it in and express it. I don't have to express it to a million. I can express it to my grandmother. That's what art is. Nothing more. But systemically, you know, system. And then I saw how system wants to do all this stuff. And I talked to my friends and artists and everything. And then I found out from that, I said, wow, it's our view of, because we do it for generations, the system relevant, right? We are so conditioned that we believe that's our habitat. I mean, kids today don't know that butter comes from a cow. They think it comes from the supermarket. Mm. Because I work on an educational program too. So that's insanity. That is insanity. When humans, when we have all that, nature doesn't do give you life if you can take care of yourself. You have everything. We have oil. Everything we have is from nature, basically. And nature doesn't create something and say, yeah, I created those elephants. Oops, I forgot the food. It doesn't work. That's perfect. So I found that we gotta really own that we are of a part of nature. So we are not in charge of nature. We're a part of nature. Mm. Therefore, climate change happens because nobody will deny that it was ice age. Climate change happens. We can make it worse or better, but we have hardly an impact on it. Mm. But if we poison the people with bad food, bad water, bad air, then we can't survive the climate change because nature doesn't do a climate change that humans are not supposed to survive. We survive natural disasters if we live naturally, not meaning going back in time, forgetting the systems, no, having the systems, but be aware that we are number one, human-centric, that we're all humans, everybody is one of one, and that we have to collaborate together, not a win or lose situation like in system relevant issues. So system relevance is, okay, I'm becoming an accountant and I know about figures and everything. It has nothing to do with nature. It's a pure system relevant job. And I just do the taxes for you. You do my stuff. I give you, I just deal in figures. Are humans supposed to deal in figures only? Is the billionaire and the beggar, are these two supposed to live worrying about money? Or is there more to life? And that's why I say we gotta update systems. We gotta update systems because we are the gods of systems. Nobody can change them but us. And what all systems run on, I found that out, that comes out in my next book, is about, it's already in talk, but it comes more in a book. It's about there's a faulty issue in the financial principles. Before capitalism, I don't even go into capital. There's a financial principles that don't accept enough. So the highest power in nature is balance. And that's why the nature, you know, nature has floods, hurricanes, all this stuff. But it's never so much that it can't recover from it. Systems, because they don't have an enough issue to balance, and we are part of nature. We live in systems. So we need the balance. That's why we need to sleep. And when we have the balance of enough, and enough is what's missing. So if you pay your taxes, which most people like to fit the systems, right? We adapt, we pretend, we all play in this game, which is perfect. But when there's a constant imbalance, that richer get richer and poorer get poorer. It's not to give people money. I'm not a socialist. It is about what is with you and I that get rewarded because we do the right thing. Hmm. Why we only get punished? When you don't pay your taxes, you get punished. But if the government doesn't do a job right and does the roads right, they're not. They're fine. You can't. The system always punishes in any way or form, and it doesn't say reward or say, you know, you did the right job or you paid your taxes for 5 years. This year you are off. Not generally, but you say, hey, we see in general today. They know everything about us anyway. So I see Joey is stopping at the red light. He's helping this woman out. He's a good guy. He's donating this. He's doing all this stuff. This year, you don't have to pay taxes. Or, you know, I don't know. This is just, we are creative. We can get better things. But we got to push ourselves into enough. Because the moment we have in systems enough, we don't have to do every year a better job, bigger, bigger, more. And nobody can do it. So we're always failing. Collectively, we're always failing because we have so exhausted. We have too many products, too many services, and we don't have the time to even find the right service that we want or the right good. And what is in nature? In nature is always balance. And when in nature I want to get an apple, I have to climb the tree. That's the effort. I get the apple, but it's mine. I can eat it. I can give it to an animal. I give it to my family, whatever I want. I need a permission to get to that in the systemic, to get to that tree. I need to lend a ladder, pay for a ladder to get up. Get the apple, get down and pay taxes. It has to be enough somewhere. It has to be enough. We have to integrate enough into systems. This is why we have wars. The same thing. Hmm. We have wars because it doesn't work. And systems then get so faulty, they cannot do what they're supposed to do. Politicians said they're supposed to keep us safe, keep order, right? This is the main thing, to keep us safe and have everybody treated equally. Hmm. That's all they have to do. They have a middle thing between systems and nature. Right? So we, the natural people and the systems, and they have to be the buffer in between. When have you last heard a politician talk about humans or nature other than a catastrophe of climate change and that humans are all stupid because they're rebelling and they're doing stuff bad? When have you ever heard a politician say, you know, this is the right thing to do because humans do that generally. They like that and it makes us feel safe. When have you ever heard a politician? I'm a political advisor, so I know the talk, you know? Mm. So why? It's so easy because when you go human-centric, you ask me human-centric, it's easy. You just feel, you experience, because we're always with humans. So we are never not human-centric. You fall in love. That's human-centric. That's not system-relevant. I can show you Marilyn Monroe and they said, I hate her. She's not my type. You know? And I show you a girl that nobody likes and you fall deeply in love. Mm. So you react human-centrically, whatever you resonate with. But we put that human-centric aside and prioritizing system relevance. I need views. I need people to sponsors and people to pay me and whatever, because we are so, there's no balance. Everybody is poor. One of 1% is rich and have everything. And they are the worst. You think that you want to be Elon Musk? I never want to be. Because they're so distant, the system disturbed. Because this is how you lure. We all want to be a leader. Because I'm a born leader. So we all want, and I never want to have the limelight. Never. Mm. Because we all want to be a leader. Why do you think we want to be a leader? We want to be a leader that we don't have to do all the crappy system work. And then, and why do we want to be a leader? That you can finally don't have to do that work and can be finally yourself. and discover yourself, your uniqueness, and do, you know, be creative and dictate people and open that new store and have that experience. Experience is wisdom. And that's why we gotta get the equality in. And I think the biggest power I've not, you can come up with another one, is system relevant and human centric, because it pulls you out of your own water. Our water is, it's never enough, no matter what we do. That's humans' water. Our water, and we gotta pull out. And I've not heard a higher or better explanation to compartmentalize human-centric and system-relevant. Human-centric being a part of nature, that means we must be in rhythm, harmony. Exactly, you got it. Rhythm, harmony with nature. And then we use system to play. I'm not saying no systems. I think systems are great, but we have to update them. And because of the, do you see this now? Because of the imbalance, it's never enough. Systems don't update. What is human-centric is the iPhone or the cell phone. And that, how many updates do you get? Every day you get updates. Because humans expand, they grow. We learn. And the system can't, because financially they can't. Because there's this imbalance. There's some people super rich, but they can't even handle their richness. People were not rich since the 80s. In the 80s, people were rich. And what do they have? One Royce, a Porsche, and a little car to drive around. They had a mansion, one mansion, not 10, one mansion. And they had personnel that helps them and do that and have every day have fresh roses. Today, you won't even know the richest people. There is some rich people, but it is so minute. They sue you if you mention them. So we're playing all these system games. That's why I say we got to pull out of it and collaborate and expand. This is why podcasts are so unbelievably powerful. And that's why people flock to them, because they don't get any information anymore of news. News doesn't do anything. News works with politics and they feed each other. Podcast is expanding our perspective. I told you, we have 8 billion life perspectives. And when we talk to each other, we expect, I'm not saying you, Joey, that's what you have to do. I mean, don't you hate those people say, yeah, Joey, you want to get on a diet? This is what you want to gonna do. You don't want to do that. You say, hey, what helped me was this. Try it out. This is how you collaborate with somebody, you know? And that's, we can change it so easily. It's totally easy. It's not complicated. The problem why we think we can't stop the system shit is because it's so complicated. Because the moment a system needs more or needs more service or something, they make another system. It's just more and more systems. And sooner or later, we can't get to why we built the system. So if we build a system for making art, you know, or making art shows. We can't make art shows anymore because we have to fill out so many forms. I cannot create a thing because I have to fill out the form, get all the permissions, like the apple on the tree, right? Okay, I talked enough. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
No, don't apologize. I love it, Michael. So human-centric is more natural. It's more being more human, being part of nature. Whereas system relevant is probably your career, the economies, you know, still very much needed. But can someone who is deep into the system relevant life, a billionaire or, you know, these people that are very high up there, can they still live a human centric life?
This is very hard. A phenomenal question. Because I was thinking about this, you know, because they're so disturbed. So when I become a leader and I become a, you know, icon, what happens is the moment I become an icon, I have to have a team systemically, because the system sees you an icon and it jumps on you because it's always in a lack. It always needs more money. So when you are Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos, the vultures are around you,
right,
and you get so disturbed. And then what happens is the group that around you, they say, oh, I need this. Okay, Jeff, we do it. Elon, we do it. Okay, we do it, you know? So you get distorted from being one, being, you know, one, the human weave. You are literally pulled out systemically of the human weave. And that's why they say power corrupts. Power doesn't corrupt. Power doesn't corrupt. When you lift out of the system, in the system, when you lift in the system to the top, you are much more disturbed. And that's why we can't have war. People that have a job, normal people say, you know, you say, Michael, do this. And I said, damn, Joey, I screwed up, you know? Top people can never, because they are so afraid of losing their position. They have to spin, manipulate, control, because they're too much. It's too much on their what they do versus who they are. Who is really the same person that they really are? We can't even identify politicians. When you meet me, I'm talking the same way to you, and probably you talk the same way to me. That's why podcast is such a superpower. It's a human-centric superpower, podcasting, that helps everybody. It doesn't make money. We know that only 1% make 98%. 1% of podcasters make 98% of money. Mm. But that's everywhere, Joey. That's in art. That's in viral videos. That's everywhere. And see, this, but why? Because there's an imbalance. There is never enough. You doing a thing is not enough. And the people that are just lucky, you know, or the system deems as Howard Stern or Joe Rogan, they are gonna, you know, do it. I love Joe Rogan. Mm-hmm. But, and he will tell you, it's not what he did. He just, he himself. Mm. But the system deems him as so valuable. And when the system deems you as valuable, it's the same as art. I can create the best art. I can transform people with my art and music or whatever. The system doesn't see I have enough views or whatever. You're never going to see my art. I'm not even called an artist if the system doesn't say I'm an artist. Hmm. And the same thing with everything else. And when you get to that position, it's very, very hard to get down. But that's why I'm saying, if we say collectively and making people aware, because awareness trumps everything. Hmm. You can never forget this podcast. Joey, I don't do podcasts that like fax machine that you can forget him. Hmm. Not system. You can never forget this. Awareness trumps every knowledge, because we have knowledge systemically to become aware. To become aware. What is the podcast industry doing? What is this thing? To become aware. And that helps us in the future to be better. And, you know, and then we can do a course, help people to start a podcast or whatever. But if we can see and say, yeah, we got to update systems. There is this, you know, and everybody can. Just focus on human centricity and not system relevance. If you want to be, if it's all about money for you, which not many, but if it is, what you can do is, why would you create because you're hurt, you can make a lot of money with shoes. Why would you do a shoe business? If it's all about money, become a venture capitalist. Be the essence. Be in it and dive into money. If money is that what fulfills you, God, go and do it. I bless you to do it, because absolutely should you do it. If it is, but don't do a restaurant, or don't do a thing, because that's not about money. Mm. By the way, no restaurant would even exist if people don't love doing the restaurants. Mm. I love restaurants. I mean, that's how I'm an artist. That's how I survived, you know. But so restaurant business is a very human centric business, like podcasting, you know. And I think once we are aware, and enough people are aware, we just automatically change. We don't have to teach anything or anything. It's not systemically. It's an awareness thing, because we are all human centric. I don't have to teach you to be human centric. You came on here and your six senses, my six senses, we aligned, boom. Hmm. We talked.
Michael, you mentioned your neurodiversity. Yeah. you had a very tough time in school. You're very smart, but you had to repeat a couple of grades at one point. Yeah. And how does that influence or shape your creativity?
Oh, tremendously. Because number one, I believe what I learned, I'm an advocate for neurodiversity, is that I think that's normal because we are 8 billion people and you're good in math and I'm not good in math. Mm. And we collaborate. I do the creativity for you, you do the math for me. Mm. And we pay each other whatever, yeah? That's when money was really the value. You had a unique value, one of 8 billion, and I had a unique value. And we used money to exchange the value, but it's not linked to humans anymore. It's about system, how valuable a system is. It's not about the human. And that's another thing that fosters the imbalance. And we can't be imbalanced. We have to balance. So neurodiversity is great with, because everybody is, it's 25% officially neurodiverse. Hmm. So I believe it's a normal thing. I have, I'm a part of the Octopus Movement, and there's like 40 people of all over the world, and we make white papers for whatever, ChatGPT or whatever. I've never seen, and one person is painting, the other one is playing with the kids, and we are all in this Zoom talk, 40 people from all around the world. And we knock out in an hour a white paper. Sometimes it takes 2 hours. I have been in CEO board meetings and all this stuff. I was in politics too. I was arts commissioner, you know, in Newport Beach. So I've never seen such an effective fun wave. First of all, fun. And I tell you as a secret, which, you know, the most creative stuff happens when you have fun. Hmm. The best idea comes when you chat around with your friends, when you think the best ideas is fun. That's why nature, see, that's why I want to show you how I look at things. So I look at nature and say, all animals play. Hmm. They always play. They don't have to fight. In the play, they see, okay, Joe is better in wrestling, but I'm better to smarten him out, or he's smarting me out. Hmm. You know what I mean? Hmm. It's by us playing, we don't have to fight. We don't have to say win-lose. We know each other and then can collaborate accordingly. And you also have fun focus. Let's do this. Let's think about ChatGPT and AI. Okay, everybody's talking. And in the talk, something develops, which you know from podcasting. I have never had that talk with anybody else. I have similar topics in that, but I couldn't repeat this talk. And if you say now, let's repeat this talk, I couldn't. It's a one moment deal because every moment we grow. Every moment we expand our perception. So I think neurodiversity is another system definition, which we need system definitions, I understand. But system definition as becoming the neurodiverse, becoming the race, becoming the gender is valued then and say, okay, this race gets me the most, the second race does. This gender is more system relevant. This, it is segregating us. We are all humans, number one. I would get rid of all the subdivisions. We are all humans. Hmm. In the subgender, you know, I'm black and you're white. I'm a female, you're a male. Whatever, you know, that's a subgender. It's irrelevant. We cannot make my religion, my political party, more important than my humanity. Mm. We are humans first. Our common denominator. We want to all be players in the international field on the internet. What's the common denominator? Humanity. So that's why you need to understand human centricity. And because that's our common denominator. Does it make sense?
Absolutely, it does. And how about the intersection? I love your perspective, Michael. And I need more art in my life. I feel, you know, I tend to slip. I think many of us, I'll just speak for myself, where I tend to slip into this system relevant where the human centric keeps pulling me back. I still want to walk outside in my bare feet and be grounded.
Yes,
I still
want to
be part. It calls me, right? Mm-hmm. And when I find myself inside too much, or I find myself separating from that, I feel a longing to reconnect. And I think if people were honest about themselves, they'd sense that as well.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard a person that said they fit in.
Right.
Even the most successful people never fit in. Mm. Because you can't. You can adapt and pretend. That's our game we play in systems. But primarily, you got to get out in the morning to reset the light. Is you need light in the morning. Morning is and in the evening is good. So if you can do twice a light, just that is natural. Just to reset your energy system and everything. Hmm. I mean, it rains right now in California, but I went out just to reset my body, you know, and just to smell fresh thing. Because I'm part of this. I'm not part of system. System we created. It's the artificial thing.
It's fabricated, yeah.
And we don't say artificial. System always need to say it's artificial. We created it. Hmm. We need the natural, what we're part of. And we can't just think we can do. So, for example, and I said that before, and I forgot what I said. They said, you want to take care of climate change? Take care of, make that mandatory, a human right and a responsibility. Clean water, clean air, clean food. No chemicals in food. Clean food. Or totally have it described. Mm. Because when we do that, even if there is a climate change, we can survive it. We have we had 20% of infectious diseases in the 80s. Now we have 64% infectious. So if we don't take care of clean water, which is our responsibility for our kids, we are not here just for us and then screw everything.
Mm.
We have human rights and responsibilities. And the number one responsibility is clean water, clean air, clean food, because humans have to survive the next generation. They cannot be made sick by systems and then healed by systems, so the system gets money. And that's also because of the imbalance. If there wasn't enough in systems, it is easy, Joey. It is not hard. Once you understand, you with your uniqueness can do something. I, with my uniqueness, can do something. I can talk to people. People get business ideas from this, you know?
Michael, when you create your art, how important is the viewer or the consumer? Do you have them in mind?
Not at all. Not at all. Because I'm one of one. I don't know what you need, what you like. I don't know. I can do everything in my life and never figure out what you like, even if I know your taste. Let's say I know your taste is green because of your background. Yeah. Let's say that's your taste. I can make you a green painting. But first of all, you know there's thousands of shades of green. So you can love this green and say, oh my God, that is the best. And I say, oh, he likes green. I'm going to give him a Kelly green. it just has to. I have to do the best. And the clear, and what art is, let's get you, if your listeners don't get enough value already, let's pump him really up to enjoy art. Art is when the artist is like a shaman. He get the non-physical. It's like when you sleep. He has a conversation with his non-physical. And when you meditate, when you sleep, when you listen to a song, all of a sudden you get inspired. And the clearer that communication is, so for example, I don't do anything. I listen to a song. I said, damn, hot pink, because they said hot pink in there. And all of a sudden it resonates with me. I jump, take hot pink, create it on a canvas. Then, so I was inspired by the song. Then I think, what color would be good? Oh, green. Oh, blue, oh, yellow. And then I feel it. And then I put red on it. I said, oh, that was a mistake. I take off the red. And what often happens is we get this communication gets clearer and clearer. And the clearer it is from the non-physical to the physical, the more people can relate to it. They don't like it. They might say, I hate this guy, but I can understand he's a, you know, he's an expert. You know? So, but nobody would say Picasso isn't an artist, right? They say, you know, you might not like Picasso, but you say, hey, this guy is so clear that he has done 35,000 paintings. He's so clear in his conversation with his non-physical that he gets, you know, he has a clarity in it, in even if he doesn't, you don't like him. And you don't have to, because you are different than him. That it's the difference of us that's good, not the combination. The combination, the sameness is not good. Mm. The sameness is we are humans. But the beauty of life is that everybody is different. Mm. Everyone. And when you embrace the other person that you meet, like I meet you, oh my God, I'm a viewer. Even though I speak all the time, I'm a listener. I'm like a loudspeaker of the mastermind that goes on because of art. That is from the arts and the neurodiversity. So I'm really excited. So what I'm saying to people, when you look next time to art, think about that and whatever resonates with you or you hate, know, have the awareness, this is a project, not for you, but what a conversation that the artist had with his non-physical. So it's a conversation that he had with his non-physical. And the art piece is the result. And the result, and when you look at art like this, it's like 50 times better. It's at least one or two times better to enjoy art. Because you're not here as the judger, but the understander. That's a weird person. And this is what he got when he talks to his... So he's one of one, like I am. And this is going to open your perspective again. It's all about open, not teaching, not educating, not lecturing, but open your perspective. That's what education is. And what I would think for you, be in nature, get out in the morning, play with the dog if you have any animals. And then also, whatever you feel, if you feel, I never think you cannot do it. Hmm. Never think, because I'm dysgraphia, I have dysgraphia, so I cannot do portraits. I cannot regurgitate. That's why I'm not system relevant. So I do abstract art. I did like 4,000 paintings in my life, probably, yeah. 4,000 or 5,000 paintings. So I do abstract art. But when you express that art, the art isn't for others. The art is for you. Mm. And if you hate the art piece, don't throw it away or paint over it. Put it away and put you in your calendar in a month to look at it. Mm. You will get so much awareness. This is what I say. You will grow better than Harvard or anything. Mm. When you just paint or make music. Just whistle along, tape it on your voice recorder in the phone. It doesn't cost anything to express yourself. Express yourself and then listen to it, not now, because your ego says that's bullshit. When you listen in a month or in a year, you listen to it from a completely fresh view, like you listen to my art. Mm. So that's why I always say, never say, oh, you screwed up, because all the artists say, many, oh, I did too much. I was perfect and then too much. Mm. I said, put it away. Don't worry about it. Let it go and then come back. And I've never heard an artist that wanted to throw something away, that he did throw something away when he came back. Mm. What happens usually is when they come back, they say, oh, my God, I see it's perfect. It's just perfect. Hmm. Nothing to change. Or I know exactly what to change. There's a red dot here or a green dot there. Never have I heard one artist, like I've never heard a person say they fit in. And I've never heard a person say, I need to throw this away. What we create in a moment is so valuable. And this is what you get when you create art. You don't have to buy a system. You don't have to do a course. You don't have to pay for anything. What we have, I mean, look at our thing. Your systems comes and want to systemize it. But the second superpower is conversation. This conversation, for example, a human-centric conversation that isn't about, so Joey, how do you get more viewers on your podcast? How much, what kind of gear you have? Oh my God, what do I need to buy for the gear? I bought a $40 microphone and camera and did 200 episodes. So it is, all the power is in you, and I'm here to tell everybody, your uniqueness is your power. It's not what you do like what everybody does. And that you find often in podcasting. Isn't that the most fulfilling time that you have?
Learning. Yeah, I find, Michael, as I get older, I have more questions than I have answers. And so when I get to speak to brilliant people like yourself with such a unique perspective, it only helps me. It only lets me grow.
Yeah, widening the perspective. Absolutely. Ask me anything.
You know, so the other question, you know, following up on the question of, you know, is the art, when you create art, is it for the consumer? Sometimes we see some of these more commercially successful artists kind of sacrifice their human-centric part of their art because they know it's going to be more system relevant. And that's a shame.
Yes. Yeah, Kincaid, he killed himself.
Yeah, Kincaid, right.
He killed himself because he couldn't handle the system said, we need these. Disney said, we need this. We need these. We need these. You know, this is the way we want to do it. You know, and it's not. It's boring. Once you've done it once, it has to be fresh. Mm. And this is the magic of podcasting. It's always fresh. It's never old. And the thing is, it's look at commodity. The art product, first of all, it's just a product of a conversation, what I said to you. And then, and that doesn't mean that it has to be good or anything. And then if the system sees, oh my God, the Mickey Mouse things that he does or the Kincaid stuff that he does, people love, we can make a business out of it. Then they want just that. They don't want you to do a different, like in theater. Why do you think we have new interpretations of classicals, which is totally fine. I'm not saying it's bad, but it's the system can. If a theater has to do a new interpretation of something, that they should do it. Absolutely. But new stuff that surprises you, that is not with any, you know, any, oh, I'm going to do this from that actor and this from that actor, or I'm creating a movie, this from this and this from that. No. We have the classics and the history, and that is very important because it holds our human-centric development. That's why I am so against editing history. Mm. If humans don't see that we hated Jews and we want to kill Jews and we did mass when 14 people decided over 6 million Jews to be killed, the leaders get disturbed, and then together they can actually decide that that 6 million Jews, humans, they're Jews by system, they're defined Jewish by system. They're humans.
Yes.
The Palestinians, the Ukrainians, the Russians, they're humans. They're not, see, only system can function if it can segregate, if it can get you against this, if it can finger point. Because, and why does it do it? It wouldn't do that, the system, because in tribes, when there was a general kitchen in tribes, they weren't doing that. They were helping each other. But because there is the financial principle of it's never enough, no balance. And that's why we have to bring the enough into systems. And I don't know how to do it exactly. I gave you a couple of examples, but that's why I give you examples so people can think about themselves. Oh, this is a way. I'm not a financial expert. I'm no expert at all. I'm zero expert. So anybody is saying, oh, you're saying something. No, I'm zero expert. I have no education. How can I be an expert? And I tell people. And there is no expert, because you have to make up your own mind what resonates with you. Because if I see eat only fish and you resonate with this, perhaps it is good for you to eat fish, but perhaps it's not, you know? You are one of one, you know, and you got to figure out what's good for you. Not because the doctor says it or anything. You got to figure, a doctor can prescribe you because he gives you the best that he can do. But your body is your best friend. Your body knows exactly. Yeah. And everybody says, you know, I drink a bottle of vodka. That doesn't mean you should drink a bottle of vodka, you know? Yeah.
So, Michael, I started my tech business in the 90s, and, you know, I got very caught up in the system-relevant life. I was not exercising anymore. I was working 14, 16 hours a day. I was starting this new business. And before you know it, my body rebelled, and I found myself at 340 pounds.
Yeah.
So the doctor said to me, look, if you don't lose this weight, you're not going to see your daughter graduate. My daughter was just born. So I spent the next 6-7 months, I lost 130 pounds and I kept it off. And people always ask me how I did it. Like there's some secret, you know, I had to get back to me. I had to get back to making myself a better person, not only for me, but for this family that I have now. And they always ask me how I did it. Like there's some quick answer, but my one word answer is always discipline. I got focused. I got disciplined. That's how I lost the weight. I wonder how discipline plays a role in your life, Michael.
I know this. See, this is perfect that you ask me this, because I'm learning right now. So, discipline is a system relevant word. Because when you want something human centrically, you have automatic discipline. If you fall in love, you're not going to go for that girl. You don't have the discipline. You forget everything. You don't even care about your business. You fall in love with that girl. You're after her. That's human-centric. System-relevant discipline is do what you don't like. I've lost 120 pounds because I couldn't stand up anymore. And that woke me up. I looked in the mirror and said, I'm skinny. I'm husky, but I'm not fat. I was obese. But it doesn't really matter what I call that, what I was. The moment I couldn't get up from the floor, because I kneeled down and did something and then I couldn't get up. I had so much, I said, it resonated with me. This is not right. And I didn't go on a diet. I just ate what my body expanded. I educated myself with keto and all this stuff. But that's me. Keto works for everyone. Vegetarian doesn't work for everyone. Everyone is different. And so to say, okay, system says you got to be skinny. I mean, the thing is why they ask me too, how you did it. I said it took 4 years. Not 1 year, 4 years.
Wow.
Because I'm not somebody that pushes stuff. I'm somebody that dances with stuff. I dance with my overweight. I dance when I fear. I dance with that fear. I lean into that fear. I want to explore that fear, you know. And then you get it. Your time isn't system time is not natural time, which you know. And this is why I think discipline is. It's like laziness. There's no laziness in nature. It's a system relevant word to shame you to do what you don't like. Because every lazy person, when they like to do a video game or when they like to do a thing, they're not lazy. I couldn't do it. If you forced me, I couldn't do a video game. First of all, because of neurodiversity, but I couldn't do it. You know what I mean? And people use, and we use vernacular to shame people. And then it's funny, the system cannot even say, we don't even say loss or anything. We say negative gain or negative, what is it? There's a word, when you look at the loss, you don't say loss anymore. You just reverbalize everything. And so we further all are in lack. We have a collective lack. It's never enough, whatever we do. And if you do enough now, forget it. Tomorrow, you have to start again. every reward or everything that systemly rewarded is really not worth it. Mm. It has to be you. Because I can win an Oscar and it rewards me, and fulfills me. Somebody else, it doesn't fulfill.
Mm.
So it's everybody is one of one, and we don't know what thing. And that's why this conversation is so good, because we I'm not saying I have three steps. Everybody, what's your three steps? I said, I don't have three steps. I don't have five steps. You know, I have one step. We're all human, one of one, and segregate in system relevance and human centricity, and make sure it's prioritized that you are human centric, because you're part of nature. You cannot segregate from that. That's I hate this when the people, I hate it. You know, I hate it. This is the emotion that comes up, but really, I don't blame anybody.
You disagree.
No, I don't even disagree. I think the people are not aware.
Mm.
People are unaware. How can you make a politician, blame a politician that goes into war? How you can blame him? You can't. Mm. They are on a superstar icon, you know, iconic superstar. They're completely disturbed. And they are frightened to death to lose it.
Mm.
Putin doesn't eat anything with a taster. What life is that? Lives in a bunker. Is the biggest owner. I mean, he's a poor thing, the guy. Poor. Mm.
Mm.
All the people that are in war are poor, because they're actually living out what we all experience. You know, they're living out their system relevance, that they have to be system relevant, and they have to never give up their system relevance, because system relevant, nobody cares. You're a superstar today, tomorrow comes somebody else, boom, you're gone.
Mm.
Nobody, the system doesn't care if you're a superstar. So why would you give that so much power? You know, I'm the biggest tire salesman in the world. Why do you give that so much power? You know?
What motivates you, Michael McGrooch? What motivates you?
Humans. Every human I come in contact motivates me. Look at me. How much more can you be motivated than this? I mean, I'm preaching. I'm living what I preach.
Mm, you are.
It's every new human you meet is expanding your perspective and makes you wiser. Every. Even the people that you hate. It makes you wiser. It teaches you something. If you don't judge them. The moment you judge, the moment you put them in a systemic category, you don't learn anything. And your ego is blown up. Your ego is blowing up more and more and more. You judge, you categorize, you stereotype, done. Done. And it's very easy to, at the beginning, when you're really judger, which I was, I judged and I tried to figure out everything because I couldn't fit into systems. So I think I had to know all the system relevance. And it took me a while to catch myself, but once I got, now it's not a feeling anymore that where I say, no, my God, who's Joey? Whatever. It doesn't. Joey's in my life, and because he's in my life, he's helping me in any way. And if we would fight right now, you would help me.
Yeah.
There's no, because human centrically always wins, by the way.
Mm.
Human centricity always wins. System relevant is win or lose or sacrifice. System relevance is win, lose, sacrifice. That's your survival. You want to be system relevant, win, lose, sacrifice. That's your thing.
Wow.
You want to win, you want to learn, you want to grow, human centricity. Very easy. Nature doesn't give us something. We have gotten this, Joey. We got that by nature. We are part of nature. We should be so thankful that we are part of nature. Imagine we would have created ourselves in systems. How lost we were. We could never figure out because we would just create, and more system, and sooner or later we would be all stuck or blow ourselves up.
So given that, how do you measure success?
God, I love your questions. Did you hear what you asked me?
Yeah. So a success.
You're the measure. Success. Yeah. Yeah.
Measure it.
Measure it. I don't measure success because I'm successful by birth. Mm-hmm. I'm one of one. I'm one of one. There's nobody like me. Why would I want to be better than other people? I'm one of one. I love this question. I've never answered this question. Mm. So success is a systemic lure. Huh. So how often have you heard, or all your listeners, I want to let you think, that if I can lose 120 pounds, or you, right, Joey?
Yeah.
Everybody else can. It's bullshit, because we would have lost that weight long before we did.
Mm.
We weren't even aware that I wasn't even aware it was overweight.
I wasn't either.
It's always a lure. It's a lure. It's a lure success. Get the Oscar. Get the Grammy. Get the Olympic medal. It's a lure. And the moment you have it, it's total breakdown. You know how many, superstars kill themselves. That's the lure, the leader. I'm going to be a leadership coach. I said, why is everybody a leadership coach? There's not enough leaders to have all these coach. Why would you not say, I want to be a team member coach, that you're totally fulfilled as a team member and understand how important you are in a team? Why is that not our, see, that would be the human-centric approach for a coach. You know, I make you a team leader where you are in your power, where you're one-on-one and you see your contribution to humanity. That is worthy, you know, because it's just for you. It's not for everyone.
Mm.
That's why I don't do copies on paintings. I do one of one. That's it. That's it. I can do thousands of one of ones, but I mean, I did 300 paintings in 3 days, but
wow,
all one of one, because that was a test. This is how I learned. You know, I had to experience to learn, and I was thinking, oh my God, I know perhaps 50 paintings, even abstract. I think I know 50 paintings, then it's over, and the last 10 were the best, because my communication with my non-physical got so skilled. That on the third day where I said, I don't know how I do this day today, it just came all out. And this is what I'm saying, experience. That's why art is so, anything you do. You do gardening, you do, and it's a funny thing. Why is the CEO that works 60, 80 hours a day in a corner office with everything on the weekend tinkering with his car, where he has the money that he could just say, put this muffler in there, put the blower in there.
Shine.
Why is he working in the garden? He can buy gardeners. Because we need to be human-centric. We need to be in our power. In our power isn't system relevant. Never. It's never for the biggest, I don't get Iger or Disney people, anybody. Nobody is in power, in the best power. These people have more energy. Can you imagine if these people were human-centric and didn't have to dance the system thing and do all the stuff they don't like and it's not them and pretend and align to what we're going to do at the board meeting. And we also know in the board meeting what's decided is on the parking spot afterwards, you know, where nobody can listen. So why are we not just all human-centric right away and update our systems so we can really serve humanity? That's why we created them. And I think success is, you were successful. I think it's the discovery, because you're one of one and life is discovering, you're one of one and life with your own view of life too, because look at your family. Everybody looks at life differently. Mm-hmm. And you guys grew up together. Everybody looks at life differently. Your daughter, your wife, everybody looks differently. And then, so you are successful already. And life is successful. You know, this is the human-centric success. When you discover, unveil yourself, the faster you will discover and unveil who you are. Mm-hmm. What's your uniqueness? That's the human. Thank you. Thank you, Joey, for this question. And I prove with that that it comes from a collaboration. The result, the wisdom, the wise thing comes out of that. It's because you're one, you're every human is successful, otherwise you wouldn't exist. Mm. Nature doesn't make mistakes. So you're one of one, and life is, no matter where you're born, to figure out what is your uniqueness. It's not how to be a good Indian, a good American, or whatever. It's like you're one of one. You're born in a slum or in a mansion. And it's how fast success is, like how fast you get to, not the, like us, you know, 60s, you know. I would have loved to be where I am now when I was 30, you know, to get there. How great would that be? That is the real skill. And that's what I'm always asking you, when stuff that the system asks, success, goals, all this stuff, always think at the human-centric part of it, because goals is the same thing. What you want is a lack, because you say, I don't have enough right now. If I say, we have 100 grand right now per day. I want 100 grand in up to 150 grand in 2 years a day. That means you're not having enough right now. You never get to it. That's why so many success things and goals never come. 90-something percent of New Year's goals are never happening. Because people wanting and what they're saying in the moment, that's the only truth. Future is not true. We don't know. You and I can be gone now, right? So we don't know the future. We don't know the past because we interpret the past. Because when you meet your friends, you look at the past, they are, remember this? I said, I have no idea, you know? And then, but when what is really real, true for everyone is now. Mm. And you need to feel good about what you do now. And for that, you have to feel enough and you never can. So the system actually takes away the system relevance that's never enough, that conditioning of the financial principles, not the system. The financial principle is a faulty system. It conditions us, it's never enough, and puts us in a continuous lack. It's never enough.
Michael, you were born successful.
Yeah, I was born successful, but I believed I was a loser. I was a sick child. Went to school at 6-8 years and had to repeat 2.
Yeah.
I never could fit in the system. I lived from the hand in the mouth. When I was arts commissioner, I had lived on food stamps because I can't regurgitate. I can create. I'm an artist, you know. I can create and do the new. I cannot regurgitate stuff. And I have a hard time reading. I've wrote 6 books and the computer reads the books to me. But you are too. You just haven't seen it. See, the stuff is, that's why I say the unveiling of your uniqueness. Because your parents, you know, they condition you and then school puts you, doesn't even teach you what's a human. School is just coming and say, okay, how we can do this? There's girls, there's male girls, right? First system segregation.
Yeah.
Even the world's a better shots than men. So we segregate, and then we segregate. So you never feel your success. Your success is taken away by conditioning. Mm-hmm. I love all that stuff that comes in, Joey. I love that. You wanted to ask something.
No, that's it. I appreciate that term success can be thrown around, and there's never a wrong answer.
Yeah.
You know, and it can change tomorrow, right? Some people, I mean, I feel I'm a success because I have 2 wonderful daughters.
Yeah.
And others feel success because they like got an award that you mentioned or whatever it may be. And there's no wrong answer, but you know, you have to be true to yourself.
But there's also a shame in it because whatever is systemic. So where's your success? If you don't, let's say you're a real failure in business. some people forget their human centricity, like you have, you know, you naturally have it, that they say, I don't care about my daughters. I mean, I love my daughters, but I got to be the biggest salesman of this. I got to be taking over this town. And they get a heart attack because they are system relevant. When you push your focus, your life focus, human-centrically, system-relevant, I mean, when you push your life from human-centricity to system-relevant, every time you do that, you're segregating yourself from being one of one. Every time. You're castrating and neuter yourself. Every time you do that, when you prioritize the system relevance, you always have to say, and you can do system relevance. You can do it when you do. Any system can be built with, just aligned it to human centricity, and you're fine. It's not a lot of work. It's just a perception. The moment we perceive it and not, and also know it, we can't live in a lack collectively. Because the thing is also the problem is it's never enough. Even the top people feel it's never enough, because you know when you go in a room and everybody's angry or everybody is happy, it changes you. You can be super depressed. Everybody is, it's a real good vibe, not just artificial happiness. You're good. You go in a thing and there's a vibe where everybody's in martyrdom and victim. You feel horrible leaving. So the thing is what the misunderstanding, I think that's the really great point to this. The misunderstanding that we have is that systemically I can be separate of you. That the rich person can be segregated from you. That he can be in his thing and everybody on the world is dying and he can live. That he has whatever. We can't. Nobody can. As good as I know stuff or are aware of, I cannot segregate from you. When they killed 600,000 people, which they did in the last year in Korea, in last few years in wars, we have to pick up the slack. We are one human weave. With money, with work, with things, we have to keep up the slack. I know this episode is going to pump your podcast because you're going to get so many questions for the next one with other people. I know this is gonna make such a good thing for you. This is how I work. I seed. I love to seed so that other people can blow up.
Well, you're wonderful to talk to, Michael. I enjoy your perspective. I was so excited when we set this up. And if anybody wants to get in touch with you, how can they?
Mike, very simple too. I'm not complicated. MichaelM.com. Michael with two L's, M.com, MichaelM.com. And there's everything. You can get in touch with me. And you can get in touch with me through you, whatever, you know?
Yeah, you have podcasts, of course, your Threads, your Twitters, your YouTube, Facebook,
painting,
SoundCloud,
music,
books, Instagram. It's all there. Michael, absolute pleasure. I hope next time I'm in Southern California, we can get together and have a cup of tea.
Absolutely. And if you want me back, if a lot of questions come, you can have me always, Joe. I love this. This was really a condensed wisdom bomb. And I think you know the listeners, if you are lost, just listen a couple of times, because sometimes I have to listen to two or three times to get it, and this is to really get it. And once you get it, you feel so much better.
Wisdom bomb. Thank you so much, my friend. You be well.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening and or viewing Joey Pins Discipline Conversations. Please share this episode with one or two of your friends who you think may benefit from the episode. Our website, www.joeypins.com. There you'll find lots of resources and you could join our mailing list. Please follow us on all our social media, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Podcast information, the video version of our podcast is on YouTube. Please subscribe. Audio is on all major podcasting platforms. Please follow them. And if you like it, please consider giving 5-star rating. Would really appreciate that. Would you like to financially support the podcast? You can go to our Patreon site. Consider $5, $10, or $20 a month. There's all kind of plans that we have there.
It's like a one-time payment. What is this podcast episode worth to you? $25, $50, $100, $500, $1,000, $5,000. You be the judge. You can go to our PayPal account to do that as well. Thank you again for listening or watching Joey Pins Disciplined Conversations.